From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, October 12, 2016. I'm Philip Gray. Greg Hudson is reporting in the Daily Mail that after months of waiting for approval from the State Education Department, the Cairo-Durham School District Capitol Building Project has begun. Crews are now in the process of removing a 20-year-old playground complex at the elementary school, and other facilities upgrades are set to begin soon. District Superintendent Anthony Tahibi said in an interview the project actually began in 2015, but the district's approval was delayed 45 weeks at the State Education Department. Tahibi said, and I quote, "Our initial goal of being finished after two summers of work has been pushed back. We are excited that much of this work is now or will be underway quick," end quote. The applications have been approved and the remaining elements of the project have been put out to bid, he said. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Katie Kosajansky is reporting in the Register Star on the progress of Redburn Development's 55-unit hotel project at 41 Cross Street in Hudson. Columbia County Industrial Development Agency Board of Director Chairman Jim McAra reported on Tuesday, October the 11th, the development company closed on the property in late August and is moving forward with the demolition of the former Stageworks building and former CAS warehouse. McAra said, and I quote, "They are finalizing the financing right now and anticipate scheduling an IDA closing in late October or early November," end quote. The 41,000-square-foot boutique hotel was awarded $1.5 million by the Capital Region Economic Development Council last year. The Hudson IDA approved a payment-in-lieu of taxes agreement with the hotel. The hotel is expected to employ 12 people and inject somewhere between $1.7 and $2 million into the local economy. You can read that full story in the Register Star. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that the Woodstock Town Board discussed the regulation of drone use during a meeting on Tuesday, October the 11th. At issue was the board's 2014 memorialization resolution declaring Woodstock a, and I quote, a no-drone zone, end quote, and calling the, and I quote, unrestricted, unregulated use of drones a serious threat to the constitutional rights of all Americans, end quote. Local videographer David Lax came to the board asking if that meant local authorities would stop him from using drones for aerial photography. Lax said, and I quote, "I just want to make sure that if I'm in Woodstock doing a job and someone were to call the police and say there's a drone flying near my house, that the police and everyone on board, that it's okay," end quote. Lax uses drones to record video footage of properties for real estate agencies, and he is licensed under Federal Aviation Administration rules. Board member Bill McKenna said the resolution would have no effect on the use of drones if federal licenses have been secured. However, board member Laura Rica said there is some concern that private drone owners will invade people's privacy. "There should be more stringent regulations placed on aerial videography," she said. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Rick Carlin is reporting at Capital Confidential that the 32-day pre-general election financial filings have been posted at the State Board of Election website, and the information disclosed indicates some candidates in key upstate races are working with relatively large campaign war chests. In the 43rd State Senate District, Republican incumbent Kathy Marchione reported having more than $230,000 in the bank, while her Democratic challenger Sean Francis has less than $8,800 on hand. Marchione was under pressure due to her flip-flop on whether Hoosick Falls residents could sue over water contamination, and supporters, including the Saratoga County GOP, kicked in a substantial amount of money to help her along. In the 46th State Senate District, incumbent Republican George Amador reported a balance of roughly $186,000, while his Democratic challenger, Sarah Nicoli, reported having just under $129,000 on hand. Campaign financial disclosure reports for state and local races can be found online at elections.newyork.gov. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union boss. The Chatham Central School District is joining some school districts in New England and the eastern U.S. in banning clown costumes this Halloween. In a post to the district website on Friday, October the 7th, Superintendent Cheryl A. Nusaforo said she made the decision to ban the costumes at school, school events, and on school buses after consultation with building administrators. Nusaforo said she was taking the unprecedented step, and I quote, to ensure the students can enjoy the fun of Halloween without worrying about their safety, end quote. In a letter to parents and guardians on October the 6th, Nusaforo wrote that recent reports of clown sightings caused community concern, but after consultation with law enforcement, the district was assured there was no credible threat. In banning the costumes, she said, and I quote, it is unfortunate that we need to take this step, but I feel strongly that it is necessary to provide an environment where all students feel safe and secure at school, end quote. Clowns are the latest subject of internet hoaxes and panic. In the past weeks, stories from various locations have circulated about scary clowns looking to harm people. WTEN reported in late September that scary clowns were spotted at an apartment complex in Clifton Park and at another location in Half Moon. In Poughkeepsie, a 13-year-old was charged by police after making a threat against Poughkeepsie Middle School as Cluster the Clown. The police alleged the teen created a Facebook page and made the threat, and I quote, to prank classmates from his old school, end quote, last week. Time magazine reported on Tuesday, October the 11th. Ronald McDonald, the fast food giant's clown mascot, is laying low until the clown craze in the country dies down. The Associated Press reports that the company remains, and I quote, thoughtful in respect to Ronald McDonald's participation in community events, end quote, as a result of the, and I quote, current climate around clown sightings in the communities, end quote. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that Michael Steed has been appointed to fill the open seat on the Ichabod Crane Board of Education until May 2017, effective immediately. The board took the action at a special meeting on Friday, September the 30th. Steed was appointed to fill a vacancy last year, only to be defeated in the May election. This time, he is returning to take Tracy Farrell's seat for another one-year term. Farrell, an assistant superintendent in the Poughkeepsie School District, resigned 2 weeks ago. Board Vice President Cheryl Trefsger presided over the board meeting and welcomed Steed back to the board and thanked him for accepting the seat. Steed is a teacher in the Chatham School District, and his three children are enrolled in the Ichabod Crane District. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Matthew Hamilton is reporting in Capital Confidential that Aylin Kaloris resigned as president of SUNY Polytechnic Institute early on Tuesday, October the 11th. Kaloris has been suspended without pay after he was arrested on state and federal corruption charges last month. It is unclear if Kaloris can keep his tenured professor position. Kaloris was one of nine people caught in U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara's public corruption net, which targeted alleged malfeasance related to the governor's upstate economic development initiatives. Kaloris was charged with bid rigging by State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Kaloris was the founding president of SUNY Poly and ranked among the state's highest paid employees. He earned between $1.2 and $1.3 million in 2015. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny day for today with a temperature high near 66 degrees. For Wednesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 49. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Thursday, a chance of showers, mainly after 11 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 66 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear with a low around 41. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 58 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 35. Sunrise today was at 7.06 a.m., and the sun will set at 6.17 p.m., providing us with 11 hours and 10 minutes of daylight, about 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 12th day of October 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.